appreciate that special song tonight. Very thankful that we have a Savior that is interested in everything that touches our life. Desire and interest in your prayers tonight as we look into God's Word. I want to make it to heaven. That makes two of us, Brother Ed. I trust it makes a lot more than that. I want to make it to heaven. You know, the devil is battling really hard on everybody because he wants to hinder us from making it. But I want to make it tonight, and my prayer and desire is, Lord, that help me, because there are times, folks, we need revival. We call them revival, but revival does not happen by itself. Revival takes place when God does His part, and He will do His, and when we also will be willing to do our part. And I want to be willing to do my part tonight, and my part is not always easy. Your part is not always easy. I'm speaking about on a personal level. When we need God to do something in our life, it's going to require something of us. I'd like to begin with a very familiar story over in the book of Acts. And it's one that, when it happened, this is a real instance, it brought fear on the church. And I'd like us to keep that in mind as we read, because it's one thing for fear to come on the world, for fear to come on the sinner, but it's something else when a great fear falls on God's people. And my prayer and desire, Lord, tonight, I would that we all, me included, that we have a fear tonight and a respect for the workings of God. In Acts chapter 5, we'll begin reading with verse 1, and we're not going to read the whole thing. I believe most of you are familiar with this story. But it said there was a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife. And they sold a possession and kept back part of the price. And his wife, both of them knew how much they sold the land for. And they brought it and they laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it your own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied to men, but unto God. And Ananias fell down dead. The judgment of God came down on Ananias, and shortly thereafter, his wife came in, and Peter asked her, he said, Sapphira, did you sell the land for this amount? She said, yes, that's right. And she also fell over dead. And the scripture said in verse 11 that great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Do you know that what Ananias and Sapphira possessed, God never demanded that he give that to him? The Lord is interested in a volunteer service tonight. The Lord is not going to force or coerce any of us to give anything to Him. But the problem here is that when they sold it, they could have just come and said, we sold our land and we would like to give a donation. We would like to give a part of it. Do you know the Lord would accept that? But the problem was that they lied about it. The problem was that they tried to alter reality, and they wanted others, but most of all God. They were lying, trying to act as if they were giving everything to the Lord. So the question tonight is, what is our spiritual reality? And that's the title of the message tonight, is spiritual reality. What is our reality tonight? And it is not my job, and I'm going to emphasize this. And I'm going to throw Brother Ed in there as well. It is not the job of the ministry to go home and live with you day in and day out and measure you up. That is the function of the Holy Spirit, but it will only work when there is spiritual honesty and integrity between us and God. Because if the ministry were to go home with you tonight, and they were to stay with you in every little thing that maybe wasn't quite like it ought to be, pretty soon you would be living to try to please the ministry. And living to please the ministry will never bring the joy that God intended in our spiritual life. The joy of the Lord comes when we, out of a heart of love and devotion, offer ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, I live this way because I love You. Not just to try to fit into a group of people. We can come to services and everybody may be doing something a certain way, and so we'll do it that way. We'll dress that way, we'll go there, we won't go there, we won't do this and we'll do that, because we just kind of want to fit into the group. Do you know that that will only take us so far tonight? It will never bring true soul satisfaction unless we do what we do because, Lord, I love You. But there is a problem tonight when the parameters of our life are based on deception. I can come to service, and you know, my wife and children aren't here. I would still preach the message if they were. But do you know that more than anybody, my wife and children know my spiritual reality? Because you don't live with me. I can get up here and preach, and I can sing, and I can raise my hand, but you really don't know how I'm living my life. When I get away from God's people, the reality is you don't know how I'm living.
That's true.
You don't know how I'm acting. You don't know how I act when someone crosses me. But the Lord does.
Yes,
and it doesn't cover. I can have a profession, and I think it's easier to talk about myself here than you, isn't it? I can have a profession, but unless the life is behind it, it's vain and empty, and there ought to be a fear on us when we stand and say, I'm a child of God. Because to be a child of God, it means something. It means that I'm serving the Lord to all that I know. Yes, we make mistakes and have failures, but my heart is right before God. Ananias and Sapphira were being deceitful, and there was deception there. So what is the true state or condition of things as they actually exist? You see, reality does not have to do with how we want things to be. It doesn't have to do with how we hope things are.
No.
Reality has to do with how things exist presently. That's our reality. And so then the question again is, what is our spiritual reality? Are there areas in our life that we have covered over? And we have excused and we have justified, but the reality is not what we're purporting it to be. I've shared a story, and maybe some of you have probably heard this, I'm sure, but many years ago, I was in Kenya, I believe it was. It was in Kenya. And I stopped to buy some potatoes on the side of the road. And they were selling the potatoes in 5-gallon buckets. And you couldn't see what was inside the bucket. But on the top, the potatoes were piled, and they were nice, big, good-looking potatoes. And I stopped, and I was buying for 100 to 200 people. And so I told the ladies, I said, I'm going to need a lot of these potatoes. And I said, do they all look like this? Because all of the ladies, it wasn't just one of them, you looked at their buckets lying in the road, and they were all nice big. And they said, oh, yes, 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 yes. And they brought me a big old bag. And I said, okay, well, I need to fill this bag up. And they started running. And they started dumping those buckets in there before I could almost see what was going on. And I looked in and I said, wait, stop, stop. And I looked in my bag and the potatoes were small and little. And I said, you told me. I said, I asked and you said they were all big. And I preached a little message to those ladies on the side of the road. I said, that's like a lot of Christians. I said, on the outside, it looks good. And we say, yes, this is the way it is all the way through. But I said, inside your bucket, they were little potatoes. And some of the women said, forgive us, Father, we've sinned. Forgive us, Father. Do you know tonight that the reality is that that is a lot of people's spiritual reality? on the surface, we look good. We know how to act in a group. We know how to act in public. I recall a number of years ago, about 20 years ago, when we lived in Shawnee, my wife and I were at the mall, and we saw someone. They came up and they looked at us, and the husband looked at my wife, and I said, "Well," he said, "you look happy." And I looked at them and I thought, "You all don't look happy." I didn't tell them that, but I could tell something's not right. Something's going on. Something's not. But you know, we can come, and I've seen some of the most lovey-dovey couples that you would think, oh, they are so in love and their marriage was hanging on by a thread. The point being is that what you saw on the outside was not the reality of what was going on in the home. Folks, it's not my job to judge you. It's not my job to go in and examine every detail in your life. But folks, if we want true revival and we want God to bless our life, we're going to have to examine our own reality and acknowledge when there are needs in our life and say, "Lord, I'm falling short here. I'm just not what I ought to be right here." That opens the door for God to begin to work and to heal and to empower. But as long as we cover up, God is not going to work. And I'm going to go a step further. And I usually say at the beginning of meetings, and I didn't this time, and so I'll say it now. Brother Ed has not been talking to me. Okay? That's for his protection. It's not the job of the pastor. When you go and say, "Well, Brother Ed, this person has a need over here." Maybe no one here has ever done that. But to begin to think, "Well, this needs to be straightened up and this one needs to be lined up." Folks, there may be a time that the Lord uses the ministry to do that. But I say you let the minister get that from the Lord. Because there are times that people, it's so easy to start measuring everybody else up. But more often than not, I have found that people that do that, they have the biggest needs in their own life. And it's going to take a place of honesty and integrity to look within and say, "Lord, help me not to be covering, not to have this profession without the true works behind it." This know also, that in the last days, perilous times would come. And Paul gave Timothy a list, and in the bottom of the list, in verse 5 in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it said, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power." A form of godliness. In other words, we have the structure. Yes. We have the doctrinal structure. We have the dress code. We have the outward. We've got this code in place, and I can kind of come and fit in. Folks, perilous times means dangerous times.
Yes, it does.
That means us tonight. We're part of that. And we need to be careful and watchful that we'll examine our spiritual reality and say, "Lord, I don't want to have a form of godliness, but I want to have the real power of God working in my life. I want to have contact with God." Worked with a man years ago, and he told me that he prayed, I believe it was 3 to 5 hours every day. Can anyone here beat that? I'll confess, he outprayed me. Every day, he spent hours in prayer. But do you know what? His heart was in the wrong place. His heart was in the wrong place. He prayed. He was faithful to be in service. He was on time to service. He was faithful to be there. And he was one that would have liked things to be kept pretty much in order. But in his own life, his heart was not where it should have been. And he wasn't willing to accept godly instruction. And he lost out with God praying 3 hours a day. What was wrong? He had a form. He had structure, but his heart was not open to really connect with the Lord, to be serving the Lord for the right reasons. Folks, if we want the joy and the power of God in our midst and individually, it's going to take being spiritually honest about our reality. Because there are times that our reality is, "Lord, I fell short here. So then what do? Cover it up? No. Come to the Lord that we talked about last night. That Lord that will have mercy on us. Because there's going to come a day that God is not going to have mercy anymore. Ananias and Sapphira found the judgments of God. But if they would have acknowledged their reality, I believe the Lord would have had mercy on them. And He would have forgiven them. And He would have accepted if they said, Lord, here's part of what we gave. I believe the apostles would have said thank you for that donation. But the problem was they were being deceitful in their hearts. And so the scripture says in 2 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, in the 5th verse, He said, examine yourselves. Yes. It's easier to examine other people, isn't it? Is it just me? It's easier to look at everybody else. It's easier to see everybody else's inconsistencies. It's easier to look at others and see where they need to probably should have done that differently. But folks, God didn't put you in my charge. He put my soul in my hand. I've got a big job taking care of me. And you've got a big job taking care of you. So the scripture is, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Let the evidence that comes out of your life prove the experience and the walk that we have with the Lord Jesus. In other words, take some inventory. You know, it's good for us to take inventory. If you have a business and you sell things, you've got to take inventory or you'll never know what's going in and coming in and going out. Take spiritual inventory. Assess where we're at. You know, it's interesting that people don't backslide anymore or rarely. Have you noticed that too? How long has it been since you talked to someone and they said, yeah, I backslid, walked away from God? That's not normally what you hear. They say, well, I just see it differently than I used to. I'm still saved. I just live differently but I'm still doing right. Folks, that's not going to cut it with the Lord tonight. It's not, I want to make it to heaven. So I'm going to have to look at my life in areas that maybe I'm not quite there. And just say, Lord, I'm not there yet. Lord, I want to get there. Spiritual inventory. What's real tonight? You know, I noticed, and I tried before service, kind of walked around and asked different ones, how are you doing? And you know, we all had about the same answer. Everyone is good and well. Had people come up and say, Brother Michael, how are you doing? I said, you're sure looking good. You look like you're feeling good. That's great. And I'm sitting there hurting, in pain. It's like, yes, I'm blessed. So when people say, how are you doing? Oh, there's a polite response. I'm thankful everybody's well. But sometimes I'll look at someone that tells me that and say, yeah, but how are you really doing? Have you ever done that? No, we got past the surface. How are you really doing? I've asked before, Habadi, we want to say, Muli Bwanj, como esta? How are you doing? I've asked people in many countries that question, and I said, I'm asking spiritually. And you don't have to answer me tonight, because I'm not your judge. But you know, the Lord's asking all of us that tonight. Yes. What's your reality? How are you doing? I'm really not doing very good, Lord. I'm struggling. You know, it's a blessing to me when people say I'm struggling. You know the reason why? Because it means they're still fighting. It means they haven't given up. It means they haven't just resigned themselves. If you're struggling tonight, you're in a good place to open up your heart and allow God to come in to empower you to rise above your struggles. But if we just want to say spiritually, yes, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, what's really going on? What about in the home? How is your joy? Let's take inventory. How is our joy tonight? The scripture says the joy of the Lord is your strength. How's your joy? How's your peace tonight? Are you experiencing that peace of God? Are you experiencing the comfort of the Lord in your life? Can you say that, you know what? The Lord has been giving me power in my life. And I'm just amazed by it. I'm so thankful the Lord has been seeing me through. I've been tempted and it's been tough, but God's been getting me through it. Do you know there is a reality tonight that you can testify to living a holy life? There is a reality tonight that you can say the Lord has given me victory. And when you have more than a form of godliness, it is humbling because you realize I can't do it in myself. It has been the mercy of God that has enabled me to be where I am tonight. What about our love tonight? Do you remember over in the third chapter, the second chapter rather, of Revelation, that the Spirit really begin to diagnose the condition of some of the congregations in Revelation. There were seven congregations. I wonder tonight what the Spirit of the Lord would say to us. Now, I know there are some different congregations represented. Do you know, I believe tonight that the letter that the Spirit would write to our congregations would probably be a little bit different. Because there's differences between place to place. But what we want to examine tonight is ourself. He told those at Ephesus, he said, I know your works. I'm just going to summarize. He said, I know your works. And he said, in essence, you've done a good job. You have a lot of good works. But he said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. And you remember why? He said, you left your first love. You lost your passion. You've lost that love, that fervency. Folks, the message to them was repent. Because they had lost the passion for the things of God. And I wonder, what is our reality tonight? It's kind of like our relationship with God is like marriage. You know, there are a lot of marriages, they live in the same home, husband, wife, they live in the same home, they sleep in the same room, they eat at the same table, but all they are doing is coexisting. Yes. No relationship, no companionship, no communication, no togetherness. And yet, you see them together. Do you know that's what it's like with some people in a relationship with God? That's the reality because they have a form. They have, but see, the thing is, it becomes more about tradition than it does truth. It becomes more about ritual than it does about worship. It becomes more about fitting in, and the Lord is interested in what's making us do what we do. He's interested in our love tonight. And I ask in the love of God to us, what is your reality? You remember when you first got saved? If you're saved, do you remember when you first got saved and just that zeal and that passion for the things of God? Those of you that are married, what about when you first got married? Do you remember how far you were willing to drive to see the one that you were fixing to marry? Do you remember how much sacrifice? Do you remember the flowers, it was good. How long, brethren, has it been since you've done that for your wife? You see, time has a way, if you don't nurture a relationship, time has a way of eroding the passion unless you take care of it. And it is no disgrace in a marriage. It's no disgrace to say, you know what, the reality is that things are kind of getting a little lukewarm. And it just seems like we've been getting in this ritual, and it's time to go on a walk in the park together. It's time to just spend some time. It's some time to spend just some husband and wife time. Go out to dinner together. Spend time together. Talk together. It's time to rekindle. It's no disgrace to acknowledge that. I don't know of a marriage that hasn't had to do that. But it's the same way with God tonight. We're in a relationship with God. And sometimes the emotions are kind of low. And sometimes life has a way of, if we're not careful, just reducing the passion and the zeal. But the Lord wants us to be a people of passion tonight. The Lord wants us to be a people that are fervently in love with God. And that means I'm going to have to take care of it. And I'm going to have to look at myself and say, Michael, there's been some things that's kind of thing, your love isn't quite as strong. And I want to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, this is my reality, but I want to rekindle it. I want to be passionate about the things of God. Because do you know, if we're not passionate about serving the Lord, it starts being miserable. Yes. You know that? It's the passion for the Lord that makes working for the Lord. It's what gets us up in the morning. It's what enables us to make sacrifices for God. It's what makes it worth it when things get difficult. It's worth it because, Lord, I love You and I want to please You. And it makes it worth it. So that's why it's important for us not to lose our passion for the things of God. He told the congregation at Laodicea, He said, you're not hot or cold. He said, you're just kind of lukewarm. So what's our reality tonight? Jesus said that there were people that drew nigh unto Him with their mouth, and they honored Him with their lips, but He said, your hearts, He said, they're far from Me. Is this all right to preach this way? I want to make it to heaven. I want us as a people tonight, but what's our reality? And I have to acknowledge that sometimes the reality is not quite what the Lord wants. And He's not ready to cut us off, but He's saying, I want to change your reality. I want to make some adjustments. There's a congregation. It's in another country. It's not in the U.S. But there is a congregation that it seemed to me the Lord was ready to pull the candlestick. And I was tired of going. I was tired of working because there was carnality. There was bickering. There were problems. There was a great lack of spirituality. In my mind, I thought, Lord, it seems like it's time to just leave them to their own devices. And I, in the flesh, was there. I want to tell you what the Lord did. He came and let me know that He wasn't done. He wanted more time, and I will tell you, it was a whole lot more than the 3 years or the year to dung about that fig tree. And the Lord's still working. It's a testament to me of how long-suffering our God is. He's not wanting to cut us off. But folks, if we're going to grow, we're going to have to recognize our reality. And say, Lord, I have a need in my heart. I'm not going to cover it up. I can pile those potatoes up. I can tell you I'm doing well. And the Lord's saying, but how are you really doing? And all the time the Lord knows where we are. But He asks because of love. It's not one of those that kind of comes up and kind of gives us the look and says, yeah, how you doing? Mm-hmm. It's not that kind of look. It's the one that Lord's saying, I want to help you, but you can't cover up. You can't keep going on with the form. You live in this way and it's just a traditional lifestyle. I've got more for you than that. I want to relight the fire. I want to reinvigorate. I want to give you purpose. That's where the joy of the Lord is. Because it's not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father. And the people respond and said, but Lord, we've done many mighty works. We've cast out devils in Thy name. And Jesus said, depart from Me. I don't know who you are. I don't want to ever hear those words. But it means that it's not enough. If we could all cast out all the devils in the world, it's not enough tonight. It's not enough to give money in the offering. It's not enough to pray 3 hours a day. It's not enough to be a good neighbor and a good song leader and a good trustee. It's not enough. The Lord is interested in your heart tonight. He's interested in your passion. He's interested in your love. That, Lord, I'm here in obedience because I love You. And that's why I live like I do. And when people come and say, why are you doing that? I say, well, my church teaches it. Wait a minute. I can only go along with you all so long, and I'm going to be dog paddling. I'm going to sink eventually. I'm going to have more than just what everybody else is doing. I'm going to have more than what my mom and dad said. I can't do that. That carries young ones for a while. But you grow up and pretty soon, well, my church doesn't do that. Well, how far is that going to carry you? There comes a time that we need to stand on our feet with God and say, I'm living like I'm living because it's what the Bible says, and I want to please my Lord. And that goes way beyond what everybody else is doing. And then we can come together with a common cause and a common love for God and have love and unity among us. And it's because or we have a common desire to please the Lord. That's what this is about tonight. But what's the reality? There are books. Revelation chapter 20 tells us that there's going to come a day that we're going to stand before God. And He's not going to ask us about our profession. He's not going to ask us, how long did you go to service? He's not going to ask us, how long were you around God's people? It said there was a book of life. And the Lord is going to open the book and see if those that have their names written in the book of life that has passed through the blood of Jesus. But it said there were some other books as well. Yes. And do you know what those other books contain? They contain our realities. Husband, father, home life, personal life, how we act when we're under pressure, how we act when things don't go right. It's a book of the realities of our work. And the Scripture says that we're going to be judged out of that book. And I say, Lord, rather than wait for the book to be opened at the judgment when there is no mercy, I would rather come to the Savior tonight and say, Lord, this is my reality. And the Lord is not going to cut us off. And I will just share something else. This altar is a place to bring our realities to the Lord. And sometimes there is a fear that the enemy would like to create. I know sometimes little children, they see someone go and pray and they say, oh, they got saved. No, this altar is much more than just getting saved. It's a place to come and talk to God. It's a place when you're not saved to come and repent. It's a place when you're saved and the Lord shows you something in your life. It's a place to come and say, Lord, this is my reality. It's a place to come and pour out our heart to God and allow the Spirit to minister to us so I can go with a changed reality. My reality when I came was gray skies, but I get up and the sky's blue. Not because I said it, but because the Lord made a change in my life. And so in closing tonight, Psalms 139, verse 23, David said this. It was this prayer to the Lord. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Lord, I want you to know my reality. And do you know that when your heart is really to follow the Lord, you do not have to be afraid of God knowing your reality? Because when He shows you a need, it's like, Lord, I'm so thankful you know. I'm so thankful you know the need that I have, and I just come and I present myself. So tonight, we need, Lord, help us not to get our eyes on anybody else. But as we close the service tonight and sing a song, I would ask us, in God's love and compassion, what is your reality tonight? Yes. Are you saved tonight? Remember, reality of a man, many of you all knew, he worked for God, and at the end of his life, he said, I've never had God talk to me. I thought, God, I know God was trying. Do you know there is a reality tonight? The Lord can be very personal to you.
Yes.
And if you've had that form, and maybe you've just gone along for years, but it hasn't been, it doesn't ignite that fire. The Lord has a reality change for you tonight. If there's sin in your life and you've had a profession, the Lord will forgive you. You can leave this place tonight and really have the goods and be able to say that I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And in your personal experience, you may be saved and love the Lord tonight. But if there are areas in your life that you say, my reality, there's some things there that I know the Lord wants to change. There is no disgrace to come and say, Lord, I present myself and I want you to search me and I want you to work in my life because I want to go to heaven more than anything else. May God bless you.